There's the bell. Soccer is in session, presented by Kaiser Permanente. I'm your host, Jason Longshore. Thanks for hanging out with us on the SDH Network. As always, we don't get to do this if Kaiser Permanente isn't our presenting sponsor. Kaiser Permanente, we care, we advocate, we give, we thrive. Thank you so much to Kaiser Permanente for helping us cover soccer all over the state of Georgia at every single level. Right now, we are focused on the end of the high school season here in the spring. It is the last normal week of the regular season. Next week, many programs are on spring break. There will be games played. Most of them are going to be the private schools who have different spring break schedules, but there will be a few more games after this week, but everything is really coming down to the wire. Some regions are decided, honestly, not that many. We know a few teams that are going to be in the state tournament. We know a few teams that are going to be able to host games in the state tournament. There's also some things still up for grabs. So let's get caught up on the latest scoreboard.com GHSA rankings updated as of March 26th. That was Sunday. Some games have been played since then. We have a few new number ones. Some classifications have had a lot of change. Some, it's pretty much the same as when we spoke last time. Let's work our way down. 7A girls. There is a new number one on the 7A girls side, and it's the Mill Creek Hawks. 8 straight wins to go to 13-1-1 on the year. Rest of the top 10, Buford's at 2, Walton 3, Archer 4, Forsyth Central at 5, Norcross 6, North Paulding 7, Campbell 8, Denmark 9, and Harrison, new to the top 10, rounding it out at number 10. They've won 6 in a row. Best 5 win percentages of unranked teams: Richmond Hill at 12-0, the Brookwood Broncos at 12-3, Hillgrove 9-3-3. They fell out of the top 10 this week. East Coweta at 7-3, and Pebblebrook at 10-4-1. Couple of notes. Mentioned the 8 straight wins for Mill Creek. Walton clinched Region 5. They have won that title. They'll host in the state tournament. Denmark, 9-3. They had a loss last time out. Harrison getting into the top 10, 6 straight wins for them. Joining Walton out of Region 5 in the state tournament, second seed is going to be Cherokee. They'll host a first-round game in the GHSA tournament. Third seed, Kennesaw Mountain. And the fourth seed in 7A Girls Region 5 is Wheeler. Let's move over to the boys' side in 7A. Number one, it stays Lambert. The Longhorns are 12-1-1. Rest of the top 10, South Forsyth at 2, Collins Hill 3, Hillgrove 4, Mill Creek 5, Peachtree Ridge 6, Walton 7, Osborne 8, Milton 9, Mountain View at 10. Best 5 win percentages of unranked teams: Colquitt County 9-1-2, Pebblebrook 9-2-1, Richmond Hill 10-3-1, Denmark 8-3-1, and Berkmar 11-4-2. Let's get some notes out of 7A boys. Hillgrove, 12-1-1, ranked number 4. They've won 11 straight after starting 1-1-1. Mill Creek at 12-3, ranked number 5. They lost last night to Mountain View. Mountain View ranked number 10 in the rankings. Milton, they lost Friday at number 2, South Forsyth. Osborne lost last night to River Ridge. Mountain View had lost last week, but then they beat number 5, Mill Creek, last night. Osborne ended up going last Friday and winning Region 5 when they beat Walton in a game that decided the title. Raiders will finish second in the region. They'll host a home playoff game, and that is a number 2 seed out of a region that you do not want to see in the state tournament. Kennesaw Mountain finished 3rd in Region 5, and Wheeler 4th. Lambert has won the Region 6 title. Number 2 ranked South Forsyth will come in 2nd. That's another number 2 seed out of a region that you don't want to see. South Forsyth, their only loss was to Lambert, the number 1 team in the state, 7A boys. Let's drop down to 6A. On the girls' side, Marist still number one at 12-0-2 on the year. Rest of the top 10, Blessed Trinity, Pope, Lassiter at 4, St. Pius, North Atlanta, Roswell at 7, Allatoona, Alexander, and Habersham Central at number 10, back in the top 10. Best five win percentages of unranked teams, Mundy's Mill at 11-1, Glen Academy 13-3-1, Thomas County Central 10-3, Grovetown at 10-4, and Jackson County at 12-5. Some notes out of 6A girls. Marist have won 7 straight. That's why they maintain their number one spot in the state. Blessed Trinity, 1-1 last week, along with Lassiter, along with St. Pius, along with Roswell. Lots of losses on the 6A side. North Atlanta, not one of them. They've won 8 straight to get to 11-2 and ranked number 6. Allatoona lost last week as well, their third loss of the year. Habersham Central, also not in that side of things. 9 straight wins. That's got them at 14-2. Mundy's Mill has won 6 straight. Grovetown has won 5 straight. 6A boys, a new number one. This has been the most volatile section of the state. 6A boys back to number one. Lassiter, 12-2 on the year. Riverwood, number 2. Lanier, 3. Sprayberry, 4. Gainesville, 5. Veterans, perfect 17-0, 6. Blessed Trinity, 7. Johns Creek, 8. River Ridge, who beat Osborne this week. Number 9, River Ridge. And number 10, St. Pius. Best five win percentages of the unranked. Glen Academy at 14-1, and their first loss came last time out. Lovejoy, 9-2. Rome, 9-2-1. South Effingham, 11-3-1. And Forest Park at 10-3-2. Couple of notes here. Lanier, 1-1 last week. Sprayberry lost twice last week. Gainesville, 1-2 last week. Blessed Trinity, 1-1 last week. St. Pius had a loss last week. Mentioned Glen Academy's loss last time out. 6A has had the most volatility in the rankings by far. Lanier was number one last week. They had a loss their first of the season. They fall to number 3. Riverwood will be in action at 5A Midtown tonight. That'll be at Henderson Stadium. Some other notes in 6A boys. Lanier, they clinched the Region 8 title on Tuesday, a 5-0 win over Shiloh, 10-1 finish in region play. Alex Kabzaru, 1 goal, 3 assists. Zach Smith with an assist. Ben Haynes with a goal. Jacob Haynes with a goal. David Rumble with 2 goals. That led the Lanier offense. And Johns Creek, they beat Roswell 4-0. It was a must-win region game for the Gladiators. The other results went their way. Johns Creek clinched their state playoff berth with the win over Roswell. Max Sosa with 2 goals, Liam Dueve with a header, and McKeith McElhinney with his first varsity goal. 5A girls, Chamblee stays on top at 15-0-1. Rest of the top 10, Midtown 2, Cambridge, Loganville, McIntosh at 5, Harris County, Jefferson, Northside Columbus at 8, Greater Atlanta Christian at 9, and Northview at 10. Best 5 win percentages of the unranked, Greenbrier perfect 14-0, Dutchtown 13-1, Flowery Branch 12-3, Villarica 12-3-1, and Calhoun at 10-3. Some notes on 5A girls, Chamblee 12 straight wins since that only blemish on the record, a draw. Midtown, 6 straight wins. Cambridge, 7 straight, and they clinched their second straight region title. Loganville, first loss of the season for the Red Devils last night. That was to Archer, who's having quite the season of their own. McIntosh clinched their region title last night. Jefferson has won 7 straight. Northside Columbus did drop a game in the last week to fall to 11-4-2. Greater Atlanta Christian also lost last week. Northview, 5 straight wins for the Titans. They clinched second place in Region 6, and they will host their first state playoff game on April 11th. Joining McIntosh as Region 3 participants in the state tournament, the Chiefs won the region. Northgate finished second. This is where it gets wild. Third seed, number 6 in the state, Harris County. And fourth seed, number 8 in the state, Northside Columbus. So three of the four seeded teams out of Region 3 are in the top 8 teams in 5A girls. And the number 2 seed is not ranked at Northgate. So Region 3, first off, very difficult region in 5A on the girls' side. Second, you do not want to see Northside Columbus, the Patriots, coming into your building as a fourth seed out of a region. They will play a number 1 seed in a region in the state tournament. Some big-time, tough matchups looming for the Region 4 top participants. Let's move over to the boys' side in 5A. McIntosh, number 1, 16-0-1. They clinched their region title last night. Dalton at 14-2, number 2. Rest of the top 10, Clark Central 3, Chapel Hill 4, Greenbrier 5, Midtown 6, Villarica 7, Tucker at 8, Kell at 9, and Cambridge at 10. Best 5 win percentages of the unranked, Locust Grove at 10-3, the Charles Drew Titans at 7-2-1, Bradwell Institute 8-3-2, Union Grove 10-4-2, and Dutchtown at 9-4-1. Some notes on 5A boys. Clark Central, 8 straight wins for them, 7 straight for Midtown, 6 straight for Villarica. Greenbrier, just always a reminder here, because you'll see a record for Greenbrier at 14-0-0, but they're officially 12-2. Because their first two games were forfeited due to a breach of GHSA rules about community coaches and involvement at the same youth clubs as players in the program. Some tougher weeks out of the 5A boys side. Tucker 0-1-1 last week. Kell 1-1. Cambridge 2 losses last week. 6-6-3 overall for the Bears, but they were ranked number 10. And the Charles Drew Titans, they will go to the state playoffs. They're going to be the fourth seeded team out of Region 3, same region with McIntosh. 4A girls, North Oconee, number 1, 13-0-2 on the year. Rest of the top 10, Holy Innocents at 2, Cherokee Bluff at 3, Westminster 4, Perry, perfect 17-0 at 5, Heritage Ringgold at 6, Northwest Whitfield at 7, Stars Mill 8, Southeast Whitfield at 9, and Whitewater at 10. Best 5 win percentages of the unranked, Southeast Bullock at 13-1, Bainbridge 13-3-1, Madison County 11-3, Mount Zion of Jonesboro also 11-3, and Pace Academy at 7-2-4. Some notes on the 4A girls' side. Cherokee Bluff, they did have a loss in the last week, their second of the year, but they have secured a home playoff game. Westminster 2 losses last week, 1-2 overall for the week. Heritage Ringgold took the top spot in a very difficult Region 7. Only 1 loss on the year for the Generals. They finish ahead of Northwest Whitfield, ranked 1 spot behind them in the state rankings. The Bruins are your second seed out of Region 7. And then your third seed is Southeast Whitfield, ranked number 9. So 6, 7, and 9, all out of Region 7, all going to the state tournament. Whitewater had a loss in their last game, and out of the unranked side, Bainbridge, 9 straight wins for the Bearcats. Little more on Heritage Ringgold. Very cool to see that team representing in the classroom as well as being ranked number 6 and winning the region. Brooke Fairchild, a member of the soccer team, was named valedictorian, and Abby Bradford was named salutatorian. Very cool to see the duality of the student-athlete life. Cedartown, they secured the number 4 seed out of a difficult Region 7. They will go to the state tournament. And Fayette County's Annabelle Orozco, 1 goal away from her career 100th. One more game in the regular season to do it for Orozco. 4A boys, Johnson stays number 1, 15-0-0, but it gets interesting for Johnson. We'll talk about them in a minute. They have a huge match coming up on Friday. Number 2, Southeast Whitfield, Rest of the top 10, Westminster 3, East Hall 4, Perry 5, Islands 6, Lovett 7, Northwest Whitfield 8, Chastity 9, Whitewater 10. Best 5 win percentages of the unranked: Shaw 12-2, Bainbridge 13-2-2, Stockbridge at 9-2, Cairo at 9-2-2, and Druid Hills back into the conversation 12-4-1. 6 straight wins for the Red Devils. Some notes on 4A boys. Chastity, 1 draw last week. Northwest Whitfield back in the top 10 for the first time since really early in the season. This was a state finalist last year. They've had a great second half of the season. They end up winning Region 7 with that flurry late. Southeast Whitfield, ranked number 2 in the state. They finished 2nd in the region to Northwest Whitfield, which could create some interesting matchups in the state tournament as things evolve. East Hall's won 8 straight. Come back to the Vikings in a second. Westminster, 2 losses in the last week. Perry, 11 straight wins. Islands, 8 straight wins. Lovett, 9 straight wins. One of those against Stockbridge, giving them their 2nd loss of the season. But everything in 4A boys points to a huge, epic region title match coming up on Friday. It's going to be at Johnson High School. The Knights host number 4, East Hall. Huge, huge game. 1 versus 4 for the region title. And, yeah, both are going to the state tournament. But there's a huge difference between finishing 1st and 2nd in terms of the pathway to get to the final. So, big game. It'll be at Johnson Friday night as the Knights host East Hall. Couple of other notes. Caleb Swenson for Island scored his 50th career goal for the Sharks. That was in their latest win over Southeast Bullock. And Cedartown getting into the girls' state tournament, also getting into the boys' state tournament. Number 3 seed out of Region 7 behind Southeast Whitfield and Northwest Whitfield. Central Carroll will join them as the number 4 seed. 3A girls, Oconee County, number 1 in the state, maintaining that spot, 12-3-1 overall. Rest of the top 10, Wesleyan at 2, Lumpkin County 3, Morgan County 4, Hebron Christian Academy 5, Bremen 6, Dawson County 7, White County 8, Cahulla Creek at 9, and Pike County at 10. Best 5 win percentages of the unranked: Savannah Country Day, perfect 9-0 so far this season. St. Vincent's 8-3, Calvary Day 8-3-2, Long County 9-4, and the Mary Persons Bulldogs at 10-4-2. Just a few notes in 3A girls. Oconee County, they clinched their 3rd straight region title in the past week. Lumpkin County split their games 1-1, first loss of the season for the Indians this season. Dawson County, first 2 losses of the season in the last week. Cahulla Creek, they had a loss last week, as did Pike County. 3A boys, Columbus stays number 1, 14-1 for the Blue Devils. Rest of the top 10, Cahulla Creek 2, Oconee County 3, Bremen 4, Wesleyan 5, Hebron Christian Academy, Savannah Country Day, Pike County, Savannah Christian, and Jackson round out the top 10. Best 5 of the unranked: Harlem at 12-4, Long County at 10-3-1, Crisp County at 9-4, Franklin County 9-4-1, and Ringgold 7-3-2. Just a few notes on the 3A boys side. Cahulla Creek, 8 straight wins to go to 13-1-2 overall. Pike County, 7 straight wins. They started 3-3-1. They're now 10-3-1. Savannah Christian and Jackson both had losses in the past week. 2A girls, Fitzgerald stays on top at 14-1-1. Being pushed heavily, though, by the 15-0 Model Blue Devils and the 13-0 Fellowship Christian Paladins. Rest of the top 10, Callaway at 4, Athens Academy 5, Landmark Christian 6, Savannah Arts Academy 7, Mount Perrin Christian 8, Putnam County 9, and the Academy for Classical Education gets back into the top 10 at number 10. Best 5 win percentages of the unranked: Pierce County 12-2, North Cobb Christian 11-2, Rutland at 6-2, Worth County at 11-5. They fell out of the top 10 this past week. And the Walker School, the Wolverines, 9-5. Some notes in 2A girls. Callaway, two wins last week, one loss. Athens Academy split their games last week. Landmark Christian also went 2-1. Savannah Arts, 11 straight wins. Mount Perrin, 10 straight wins. Putnam County, 10 straight wins. Savannah Arts started 0-3-1. Mount Perrin also started 0-3-1. Now 11-3-1 and 10-3-1, respectively. 2A boys, Landmark Christian is your number one team at 12-2. Providence Christian Academy, second at 11-3. Rest of the top 10, Fitzgerald at 3, Putnam County, Tattnall County, Model at 6, Walker School at 7, North Murray, Fellowship Christian, and Toombs County at 10. Best 5 win percentages of unranked teams, Spencer at 8-1, Drew Charter at 10-1-1, Westside 7-1, Towers 10-1-1, and Pierce County at 11-3. Some notes in 2A boys. Fitzgerald and Putnam both with 11 straight wins, as does Model. Walker, new to the top 10, all the way up to number 7. They've had 6 straight wins to get to 11-3 overall. Fellowship Christian, also new to the top 10. Savannah Arts Academy and Union County both fall out of the top 10. 2 losses for the Panthers last week, 1 for Union County. Best 5 win percentages of the unranked. Mentioned Drew Charter. They had their first loss of the season last week. 1A, Division 2 girls, Aquinas staying at number 1. Perfect 10-0 record. Rest of the top 10, McIntosh County Academy, Lake Oconee Academy, Lincoln County at 4, Hawkinsville, Portal, Atlanta Classical Academy at 7, Johnson County, Dooley County, and Atkinson County at 10. Some notes, 1-1 last week for Lake Oconee Academy. Lincoln County had a loss last week. Portal, 2 straight losses to fall to 7-7 overall. Atlanta Classical Academy, kind of a later start to the season, 3 straight wins. That gets them back into the top 10 and also gets them to 3-3 overall. Dooley County, new to the top 10 this week as well, 4 straight wins for the Bobcats. Atkinson County lost last time out. 1A D2 boys, Georgia Military College Bulldogs 11-1-1. They remain number 1. Christian Heritage number 2. Atkinson County, Lake Oconee Academy, Portal at 5, Eccles County, Aquinas, Dooley County at 8, Chattahoochee County at 9, and Atlanta Classical Academy at 10. Some notes, GMC, 9 straight wins, Atkinson County, 10 straight wins. Aquinas had a loss last week. They're 5-6 overall, but ranked number 7. Dooley County had a loss last week, as did Chattahoochee County. 1A D1 girls, Commerce stays number 1 at 15-1 overall. Paideia is 2. 3, Bleckley County, rest of the top 10, East Lawrence, Dade County, Social Circle, Scriven County, Whitfield Academy, Lamar County, and the Atlanta International School. Best 5 win percentages of the unranked teams, Galloway at 6-1, Tallulah Falls at 9-3, Darlington at 10-4, Tryon at 7-3-1, and Temple at 8-4-1. Some notes from 1A D1 girls, Bleckley County, region champions. Social Circle, region champions, both clinched last week. Atlanta International School, new to the top 10 on the girls' side. They're 5-4-1 overall. Tallulah Falls fell out of the top 10 this week for the first time, maybe all season long. They're 9-3. Region 5 has been fully decided. Social Circle won the region. Second seed will be Prince Avenue Christian. Third, Oglethorpe County. And fourth, Jasper County. And just to go ahead and note this, the bracket has fallen into place for a potential state championship rematch between Commerce and Social Circle. One of the best games I called last season of any gender, of any competition level, anything. It was a blast to call. It will be at Mercer. I will be at Mercer this year. I don't want to say I'm rooting for a rematch, but it would be quite the contest, not going to lie. There's a bunch of teams that are going to have something to say about that along the way, though. But the bracket has lined up for Commerce and Social Circle. They are on opposite sides of it. 1A D1 boys, Paideia maintains their number one ranking at 9-0-5 in 2023. Rest of the top 10, Atlanta International School second, Tallulah Falls third, Bacon County, Dalton Academy, Bleckley County, Whitfield Academy at 7, Woodville Tompkins Institute at 8, Tryon at 9, and Mount Vernon at 10. Top 5, unranked, Jefferson County 9-3-2, Coosa 7-3-1, Lamar County 9-5, Elbert County 7-4-1, and the Barrow Arts and Sciences Academy 8-5. Oglethorpe County, they won Region 5 on the boys' side. They'll be joined in the state tournament by second seed Social Circle, third seed Prince Avenue Christian, and fourth seed Jasper County. If you're looking for detailed coverage of the Dalton area, make sure you are following Monday Night Football, F-U-T-B-O-L. That's on Facebook and also on YouTube at WDNN. New episodes every Monday night during the season. They air at 8 p.m. live. You can also watch them on demand. Big shout out to the Gwinnett Daily Post. Great coverage of local high school soccer. WDUN in the Gainesville area as well. Blitz Sports GA in the Northeast Georgia area. Just very, very cool to see this growing and more coverage of high school soccer all over the state of Georgia. If you want to follow active Georgia high school soccer accounts on Twitter, I can help you out with that. I've created a list. If I'm missing anybody, please let me know. Follow me. Shoot me a message. I'll get you added to the list. I'm on Twitter at Longshoe. I'm on most social media platforms at Longshoe. So if you've got news you want to publicize, tag me, send me a message, let me know, and I will share it here on Soccer Is In Session. Coming up next on the show in our in-session interview, Steve Peterson, boys coach at Richmond Hill, Heather Richardson, girls coach at Social Circle. John Nelson has your in-session interviews coming up next. Thank you so much for hanging out with me on Soccer Is In Session, presented by Kaiser Permanente.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the GHSA and the Georgia Athletic Directors Association.
Welcome back to Soccer's In Session here at Soccer Down Here, presented by our friends at Kaiser Permanente. Kaiser Permanente, thrive. And as we catch up with our coaches around the state, next stop is the Hill, where we catch up with Steve Peterson, the boys head coach for Richmond Hill, who's doing really well in Region 1 7A. Coach, thanks for going in session with us here at SDH.
Hey, it's my pleasure. I always love to talk soccer as much as I like to play it.
All right, so reclassification put you in Region 1-7A, and this is something that I'd noticed in other sports and had a bit of a natural concern when Region 1-7A came to be, where basically it is the Hill in the eastern frontier, and it stretches all the way to Moultrie and Colquitt County in the western frontier. How much of a challenge has this season been for you, whether it's region play, finding opponents, those kinds of things? How much of a challenge has this season been for you?
Yeah, it really – I think the biggest problem is trying to get those long-distance games in on Fridays. And with weather and everything else going with that, it's been interesting. Now, we do have our last region game on Friday, and we get to go all the way to Moultrie, as you're talking about, you know, 4.5 hours away. It is fascinating when you look at 7A, and there's the five of us down here. And then nothing for the rest of the state until you get to that little bubble around Atlanta, of course. So, yeah, it's a very interesting problem we've got, because we're kind of on an island when it comes to competitive play. I'm a little bit lucky in that I can reach into South Carolina, and we got teams like May River, Hilton Head's got several teams, Bluffton. So I've got a small little fringe there. But yeah, I've found it extremely challenging, especially as I'm looking at next year. And as I see, you know, the level of play I need to be at and the level of play opponents I need to play, it just gets really interesting. Chatham County is very deliberately, you know, with Savannah, is very deliberately kept all of their teams to 5A. And then you have some private schools. But it's really, I guess soccer is very nuanced and niched here in the Savannah area. So that piece of it, I'm going to continue to find that to be extremely challenging this year and next year. So, yeah, and I don't know, you know, we're actually pretty excited about 7A disappearing in 2 years because I don't think it's really been a net value, especially for the soccer landscape. Obviously, football is a whole different story, and that's what runs the show. But for the real football, it's not been good.
When you look at the schedule this year, right now, 10-3-1, 6-1 in region. Obviously, you mentioned that game against Colquitt County coming up as your last region match. We'll get into that. Probably could decide the region title if things go a certain way. Colquitt wins out. You stay where you are, looking at everybody else outside going in. What are some of the things that you have learned about your team this season through season one, that non-region schedule? And season two, the region schedule that you hope gets you ready for season three, the postseason.
Right. Yeah. First of all, I've really been impressed with, and I think a big difference between last year where we had a losing season, this year a winning season, has just been the IQ of my players. And I'm talking about just being smarter about being in the proactive and anticipating being in the right place at the right time. As we all know, 99% of soccer, you don't have the ball. And so I've noticed that my guys have just been a whole lot smarter what they're doing with that 99% of the game. Second piece is really just they are playing well together. And there's been games where I didn't really have to coach a whole lot because they were doing the game plan. They were executing some beautiful soccer. So for me, this season has just been almost black and white with last season. And where I think we're going, and we have been getting better each game, but we still have – this is our last week of region play. I still feel like we've got another step we've got to take to get ready for playoffs. And it has to do with, as I told you earlier, you know, 7A has such a great concentration of great teams together in Atlanta that we just don't get that competitive. You know, every game hasn't been as much of a grind and hasn't been as challenging as it should have been.
Averaging about five and a half goals a match. You've only given up 12 in the 14 that you've played so far this season to this point. Who have been some of the stalwarts for you? So for folks who are parachuting in and get to see Richmond Hill for the first time, who are some of your stalwarts that folks can sit there and go, okay, I'm watching Richmond Hill. I know about these guys. Who are some of your stalwarts this year?
Yeah, I would absolutely have to say Evan Vebolt. He's been my captain for 2 years. He just absolutely has a mastery of the game and being at the right place at the right time. Tyler Diesman, he's just really been dynamic. And he's tall, he's fast. He is really great about getting the ball, keeping the ball, and getting that shot off. So he's by far, when you look at the dynamics for the offense, those are the two guys I would look at. I think where we have actually gotten a lot better is in our midfield. And I've got a junior named Sebastian Goh, who just really moves that ball, distributes that ball well. And I could not have done anything. I've got to bring Gio up. I have an Italian exchange student that has just, you know, brought our team to another level at the six, and he just moves, you know, wins the ball and moves the ball so well within that, in between that defense and offensive space. So I've been really blessed there. And then I couldn't really stop, but as you can see, I'm kind of talking the spine a little bit, but my two center backs are both seniors. They've just really, it's been impressive how much better they got than last year. And so they've been just really lockstep, iron wall, and that's Jacob Sanchez and Ryan Reeves is my center backs.
So then let me ask you this. I know that in a lot of sports, you know, coaches from around the world are looking at kids at the next level, you know, juniors, seniors, that kind of a thing. Is there a player on your roster that you would sit there and put your hand up in the air and go, okay, you need to look at this one because he's, for whatever reason, he's not tall enough, he's not fast enough, and I'm putting all this in air quotes. He's not this, he's not that, but he would really do well for you, coach, at the next level. Do you have one of those kind of players that isn't getting a whole lot of looks but is really vital to what you're doing and really could benefit somebody at the next level?
Yeah, I've got one guy, and it's crazy because he was actually a homeschooler last year that came into my team this year, AJ House, that you look at him, you know, he's about 5'6", you know, scrawny. You wouldn't really think, what's this guy going to do against people that are over 6 foot? And it's been absolutely phenomenal. He's one of my wingers, and he just has that ability, A, to win the ball, and then B, once he has the ball, getting to the right spaces. And so it's been really dynamic, and it's been interesting because he really wasn't even a starter at the beginning of the season, but he's just really shown incredible value, determination, stick-to-itiveness, and just intestinal fortitude. It's been fantastic. I would definitely want anybody to take a look at this guy and put him up against anybody that has the physical stature.
When it comes to success, Richmond Hill this season, very successful on the girls and the boys' side. What has been the support like there on campus and there in the community, seeing both programs doing well this year? What's the support been like?
Yeah, it's been really amazing. I've, you know, we usually have, you know, trying to fundraise and trying to, you know, get with the community. It's been the girls had a great season last season, so they're kind of on in the same place. But for us, for the boys, just being, you know, people saying, hey, I saw that, I saw this, you know, I'd be walking at the store and somebody mentioning that they saw a score, that they congratulate you. It's been for me, it's been a different place, and it's been fantastic. Richmond Hill is kind of like that perfect size town. It's a small town, even though we have a large high school. It's a very small town, so you really don't run into anybody that doesn't know a little bit about something. And I honestly, to tell you too, what I've been telling everybody this whole season, I just got a really special group of young men that have come together to do some pretty amazing things on the soccer field. And it's, you know, I've been very blessed to be able to help mold that. But I honestly, I can only say I'm a facilitator, because once that whistle blows, it's those, you know, 11 guys. And I actually got to say all 20 of my guys that make it happen. And I've just been really excited, because I can basically, my second string, my third string are just as strong, just as dynamic as my first string. So it's been great this year having that capacity to go deep.
Waiting for Colquitt. It's like you're waiting for them, and you're waiting for everything to happen for this last match of the year. Last time out at home didn't go the way you wanted. What do you think needs to change when you head to Moultrie on Friday for the last game in region play that could probably decide the region championship?
Yeah, and we've been hitting this hard the last 2 weeks, and it's really just about saturating the 18, crowding the box, and then getting those creative passes in the top third. That is going to be the difference. And so if we can do that, if we can execute, then great things will happen. And we're not, you know, I never want to be at a place where my end of the scoreboard has a 0-1 on it. And so that's where we've been focused. I've always, the whole season, been really happy with my back line. It's always the hard part is to get, you know, not just the passes, but to get the opportunities and get those really high percentage opportunities inside the box. So that's really what we're focused in on. That's going to be keyed on that night. And that's where we plan to go on Friday night, when we have to go all the way to Moultrie and get that done on their space.
And we're keeping an eye on you there in Region 1 7A. Steve Peterson, the head boys coach at Richmond Hill. Great season so far on the Hill. Thanks for coming on with us and going in session for one of our in session interviews this week. Good luck in 7A the rest of the way.
Thank you, sir. Build the Hill.
And now we catch up on the girls' side of things, and we go to Social Circle, where we catch up with head coach Heather Richardson. Coach, thanks for hanging out with us and going in session.
Great. Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, looking back to last season and the battles that you had getting to the last game of the year and the craziness that was attached to that match from Commerce, what were some of the lessons that you took with you from last season that you got to apply to this season?
I would definitely say a couple of things, that hard work pays off, and anything can happen. Just always fight till the very end and never think you're counted out.
When it comes to this season, I know expectations are always really high. When you look back from the beginning of the season to now, you know, as we're talking, you've got the one match left in the year. You're 10-4, unbeaten right now in region in single A and D1 in region 5. How do you think you have gone this season, having come through 22, going through 23, knowing you've got that bullseye on your chest? What's it been like for you with this ride going 10-4, unbeaten in region for the last, heading to the last match of the regular season?
Well, I definitely think for the girls, it's been a confidence booster, because we have 7 players left from our squad last year that were on the team last year. So we're in a brand new region. So we're playing teams that we aren't quite as familiar with as we were last year. So to come in and go 6-0 in that was very, very exciting and a good confidence builder for the girls. And the games, the non-region games we played, you know, we've played some pretty tough teams, and that was definitely good for us, because it's going to prepare us for what's coming ahead.
When you mentioned reclassification, how much of a challenge was it for you, knowing that you were drifting into a, you know, new regions and such, to get your non-region opponents? Because I'm sure that in some levels, folks would sit there and go, you know, you're making the phone calls or you're on the message boards or whatever, trying to find non-region opponents. And I imagine that because of your pedigree, it was probably difficult to find non-region opponents. How difficult was it?
Oh, it was very difficult, to be honest. And last year we had so many region games. We had twice the amount of region games that we have this year. There's only 3 other teams in our region this year. And we play everybody twice, so that's 6. And you can have, you know, 18 games in a season. So I'm having to find a lot more games than I'm normally having to find. And there were multiple teams who I'd email or call, and they'd be like, no, I don't think we want to play you this year. So with that being said, it was a blessing and a curse, you know, blessing because it made me schedule harder teams. And that's what we needed. You know, we needed to play some big games to prepare us for what's coming.
And you mentioned that, you know, you start out of the blocks having to play Northgate, Walnut Grove, Athens Academy.
Right.
And what did you take from those 3 matches that you got to apply going forward?
Well, we took 3 losses, and that's all right. We took some very good things from that. We got to play faster. We got to have better ball control. We got to use our outside backs like they do. It was just it was faster pace than what we're used to, and it will help us. You know, it helped us to do the same against our region opponents, which is exactly what we needed.
Looking at the numbers, scoring 77 goals in 14 matches, and of course me having to do math on this show, it's just under 6 goals a match so far this year. The defense, outside of those 3 losses, very, very stingy working your way through there. It was, I think, half of the goals I think that you gave up this year were in those first 3 games.
Right.
And you've been able to be stingy ever since. Time to brag on some of your players. For folks who haven't had the chance to see Social Circle this year, who have been some of your stalwarts on offense that have given you those wins, and defense that have kept those numbers down?
Well, I'll definitely say offense-wise, Peyton Brooks has been phenomenal as usual. Last year, you know, she scored 72 goals in the season, and she had 4 of those goals in the state championship game, which was massive. This year, because, you know, we're playing a pretty tough schedule, now she's sitting at 49 goals, actually 54 if you count our scrimmage game. So she just really, really makes a difference offense-wise. Her and Alana Ferguson, who also helps us out offense-wise, she plays basketball, so she missed a few of the games. But once she comes in, she really helps us. Faith Young is our center midfielder that has 17 assists. So she's the one who, you know, really helps us out getting it up top. And then defense wise, we're very young compared to where we were last year. We graduated a senior last year on defense, and I've had our whole back line is completely different, but they really have stepped up. I have three freshmen and a sophomore on my back four. So I'm pretty excited about that for the future. But Claire Ray is, you know, playing in a position in center back that she's not something that she's used to or definitely wanted to do. She definitely loves to get up and play offense, but she has been a very good defensive player for us on the back line, along with some freshmen. So I've enjoyed watching them grow this year.
You look at that back line, you've got freshmen and sophomores starting out as freshmen and sophomores, but obviously with what you experienced early in the year, now what you've done in region play, they're not playing like freshmen and sophomores now.
No. And also, I forgot to mention, I do have a junior in that back line. I move her around a lot. She's either in the back line or she's a defensive center midfielder. So I have Macy Williams, who's also was on the state championship team last year, that's given a lot of leadership back there. It's young in the back, and we're young. We're young everywhere this year, to be honest, because we lost 10 seniors last year. So we're just going through region play and going through our non-region play, just getting ready for the run for the state playoffs, has been good this season to see how we pulled together and our I call them older players, but they're really younger players. But our leaders on the team, you know, they really are stepping up and helping our younger girls and our younger team. You know, I think probably 90% of them were at the state championship game watching it as eighth graders. You know, so they're like, I want to be on this team and I want to be a part of it, and they're proving that this year.
What is the support like for someone who hasn't had the chance to catch a social circle match there? What has the support been like, especially, you know, with recency, chasing after a championship last year and carrying over into this year? What is the support like for soccer there in social circle?
Oh, we have great support. I can remember, you know, just specifically from the state championship game, looking across the field and just seeing so many students there. And I remember the day of the state championship game and right before, the kids were like, can we get a bus to get to Macon? And you know, we just couldn't work it all out. We're like, no, we can't get y'all a bus. We can't get anybody. You just got to show up. And they, all of them figured out a way to make it. There were signs, there were blow horns, you know, the support was amazing. And it's the same way. I mean, we did the same thing for the basketball team. The student section of the basketball team is amazing. And we're a small school where it's like a family. And there's so much support from, you know, from our board office, you know, all the way out to our community, you know, our shops in town, just lots of support for soccer and for our school.
All right. So have you looked at the bracket and have you started mapping things out there in D1 as you're chasing? It sounds like you already have. What does the bracket look like from the permutations and combinations that you're putting together? What does that D1 bracket look like?
I probably was looking at that bracket back in November of last year, but the brackets, because of the region change, you know, we're region 5 D1. So we're matched up with region 6 D1 is who we'll meet in the first round of the playoffs. And we call that the private school region, I guess, because it's all the private schools. So we'll be playing the fourth place team in region 6, and it's going to be a tough matchup. Probably not anything like we're used to in a first round matchup game, but it'll be a tough game.
And we know that we will be following along as we go. Head coach of the girls' side at Social Circle, great to catch up with Heather Richardson. Coach, we got the one match left up against Putnam County. Your season's over. Then the chase for another championship begins. Thanks for going in session with us. We really appreciate it. We'll follow along as you go and hopefully chase another championship down there headed toward Macon.
Great. Thank you so much.
Soccer's in session continues after this. Jason will take you through the rest of the state, presented by our friends at Kaiser Permanente. Kaiser Permanente. Thrive. More with Soccer's in session after this.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Georgia. This message presented by the GHSA and the Georgia Athletic Directors Association.
Welcome back to Soccer is in Session, presented by Kaiser Permanente. I'm Jason Longshore. Thanks to Steve Peterson and Heather Richardson of Richmond Hill and Social Circle for catching up with John earlier this week. Big programs in the state so far this season. Big seasons, and the state tournament is looming just around the corner. So the rest of this week will finish out the bulk of the regular season. Like I said at the top of the show, there's going to be some games during the public school spring break week. A lot of private schools playing games during that, but there could be some other games that pop up, non-region games, to get ready for the state tournament because, you know, it is kind of awkward coming back from spring break and going straight into knockout tournament play. Not easy. We'll see how the programs navigate this. We'll see how the kids navigate this as well. Maybe those trips for some of these top teams, maybe some of those spring break trips might get cut down just a little bit. All right. Some other news from around the state. It's really cool to see the growth of middle school soccer all over the state. I feel like on Instagram and on Twitter, I'm seeing lots of programs shout out their feeder programs on the middle school side. I know Thomasville is having the county championships. They're hosting those this week. Atlanta Public Schools hosting their program championship on Thursday. Drew Charter will face Howard on the girls' side. Howard will play Sutton in the boys' game. You can go watch those. Henderson Stadium in Midtown Atlanta Thursday night, 6 p.m. for the girls, and the boys will follow right after that. And look, it's no surprise that Dalton is taking things to a whole nother level. Today, on Wednesday, March 29th, Dalton Public Schools held their first ever elementary school tournament. All six elementary schools in Dalton Public Schools competed in a co-ed soccer tournament to determine a district winner. And Park Creek School won all of their games. They came in first place. Really, really cool to see an elementary school tournament. You know, maybe a little bit of a nudge to some of the other school programs around the state. During my time with soccer in the streets, we created play between elementary schools in DeKalb County, and it was some of the most rewarding work that I was involved in, to see those kids get an opportunity to play games. And, you know, they weren't playing as many games as a high school program would, but to play games, to have great coaches involved at the school level helping them. It we were told by parents and by teachers and administrators at the school that, you know, it improved behavior, it improved grades. It was a very valuable part of the school. And look, elementary school, it doesn't have to be a very involved event. It doesn't have to be a very involved long-term program. But what Dalton did, very, very cool to see, to have almost like a jamboree kind of aspect. Love the middle school growth as well. Those feeder programs are critical. And the overall growth of soccer in schools, in my opinion, could be one of those elements that takes soccer in this country, and since we're focused on Georgia, in this state, to a completely different level. Such an untapped resource, and such an important resource when you get into not just the soccer aspect of it, but the school aspect of it and what it can do for those students in the school day. All right, some other news around the state to touch on. Mill Creek, I love that they announced all of their senior commitments today. Seniors signed their commitment letters in a program at the school. Here's the list on the boys' side. Jack Middlebrooks, he's headed to Brevard College. Boris Basic to Piedmont University. Peyton Mount to Doan University. Will Perkle to TBS Barcelona. Sean Bacha headed to Spartanburg Methodist College, and Jesse Lee going to the Virginia Military Institute, VMI. On the girls' side, Mia Palumbo headed to Georgia State and College University. Ashley Summerall going to North Georgia. Riley Renwick headed to Georgia State. Abby Grazer going to UAB. Courtney McClure going to the Big Ten in Maryland. And Karina Pashkovitz going to Southern Wesleyan. Jacob Haynes of Lanier High School headed to Juniata College. His teammate David Rumble committed to Bentley University, and goalkeeper Ben Haynes is committed to play at Virginia Wesleyan. Goalkeeper Avery Fowler of Cherokee Bluff and Atlanta Fire United headed to play at Berry College in the fall. Yanira Machera Herrera of Decula High School committed to play at South Georgia State College in the fall. Adrian Levy on the Georgia College side of things, transferring to Oglethorpe to play D3 in the SAA Conference. Transferring in from Palm Beach Atlantic. And Ethan Bowman, who graduated from McEachern in 2022, played youth soccer at SSA, transferring from Shaw University to Southern Union State University. A couple other bits of news. Andrew College, men's soccer in JCAA, located in Cuthbert, Georgia. On the men's team, still recruiting 2023 players. You can contact Coach Kyle Griffith. Email is best, kylegriffith@andrewcollege.edu. That is Kyle, K-Y-L-E, Griffith, G-R-I-F-F-I-T-H, @andrewcollege.edu. Coming up this summer, a youth soccer camp at Georgia State University. It's going to be in June, hosted by men's head coach Brett Surrency and women's head coach Ed Joyce. First camp dates are June 5th through the 9th, second, the 19th through the 23rd. It's for kindergarten through rising 7th graders. Full and half-day camps are available. You can get more information and you can sign up at www.jssoccercamps.com. Upcoming games on the network. Thursday, we will be down in Peachtree City as McIntosh hosts Stars Mill. Big games for both of them as they prepare for the upcoming state tournament. And this is a rivalry that goes way, way back and lots of really cool community involvement. We'll have all that for you on the SDH Network starting at about 5:30 on Thursday. Friday, mentioned a big game coming up in Gainesville with Johnson hosting East Hall. That is the game of the night, 1-4 in the state on the boys' side, meeting at the Dungeon. That one we will not have on the network, but I will be anxiously refreshing the high school soccer list that I have for updates on that game between the Knights and the Vikings. Make sure you're following us on social media at Soccer Down Here, not just for our school coverage, but also for our Atlanta United 2 broadcasts. All home games, and it looks like most of the road games as well, will have radio-style calls for you on the Soccer Down Here network. Wherever you get your Soccer Down Here podcasts, you can listen to these games on demand. You can listen live at soccerdownhere.net. You can listen live on the Soccer Down Here app, which is free to download. You can also listen on the Spreaker app. Just search for Soccer Down Here. And if you're on mobile and you don't want to download the app, that's completely cool. You can just go to soccerdownhere.net. It's optimized for mobile, and the audio player is right there on your screen when you go to soccerdownhere.net. So Atlanta United 2 games, mention McIntosh and Stars Mill, also all of the other podcasts that we do here on the network throughout the week. Tons of soccer content for you, tons of soccer conversation at SDH. Thanks for hanging out with us for another Soccer Is In session presented by Kaiser Permanente. We'll be back next week to recap the regular season and preview the state tournament, which starts in a week and a half. Really getting down to the nitty-gritty now. Thanks for hanging out with us. Mucha platio.